Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
Good morning. We are the Schroeders. My name is Jeff, my wife Jessica, daughter Lily, and my son Jack. We will be lighting the Advent candle for love. We'll be reading out of 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him.
Today we light the fourth candle of Advent, the candle of love. Advent tells the story of a God who moves toward us in love, not because we deserved it, but because his heart is full of mercy and compassion. In Jesus, love took on flesh. Love walked among us. Love stretched out his hands to heal, forgive, restore, and ultimately to rescue us on the cross. His love is unconditional, unchanging, and unstoppable. It is a love that pursues us, fills us, and transforms us.
We light this candle to remember the love of God, a love that came down to us, holds us close, and invites us to love others as he has loved us.
Okay, so I got two announcements before we continue on with Advent. One of them is there's no service next week. We know this, but we will be back here on the 4th. But good news for all of those setup people and for those that love to help us at the end of service, you don't have to touch anything. Okay, we get to leave everything as it is for the next 2 weeks. So at the end of service, you get to just leave. It's great, huh?
Or hang out.
Yes, hang out. Thank you. Thank you, Mackenzie. He's always thinking. I'm just thinking of those that start stacking chairs. Okay, our other kind of happy, sad news is Reach Community Church lost one of its members this week. If you know Lenny Furman, he went to be with the Lord on Thursday. His wife, Annie, was here first service. We're going to have a celebration of life service on the 10th of January, which is a Saturday right here. But I just wanted to take a moment. We have three widows and one widower all this year. And as you go through your holidays and think about all the things that you're grateful for, I would just encourage you to remember them. And if you know them personally, reach out. Just tell them that they love them. Sometimes the first holiday is very, very difficult. And so we want to love people, not only with our prayers, but with our actions. There'll be more details on time and everything if you'd like to join us for his service. Okay, today we're going to continue on our Advent series. We're going to finish We're going to finish on Christmas Eve with the white candle, which is the Christ candle. We get to celebrate today the reality that God chose to love us. Love is one of the most used words or overused words in our culture and one that's very misunderstood. We say we love coffee. Maybe you do. We say that we love our children, and for those that didn't know this, we had the kids singing up here, and adorable. I mean, I wish you could all be here, but then no one would be here for second service. So I'm grateful that you decided that you would come to second service today. Some of us say that we love Christmas. It's our favorite holiday. And you can go on and on with this list of things that you love. Oh, I love. And a lot of them are just things. Things that are, you know, not that we shouldn't love them, but we get confused of what this love really is. But the Bible speaks of love not as a preference or as an emotion or something that fades with circumstances. It isn't something that we fall into or fall out of. It's something that moves, initiates, and costs. Advent doesn't begin by asking how well we love, which we're going to talk about both today, how we are loved and how we love because of that. It begins by pointing us to the love that came to us. Until we understand that, we won't fully understand Christmas. And one of the things that you're going to hear me say today, and I want to lay the groundwork, we're called to love people. Not because we're told to, not because we feel like we should. We're called to as who we are as followers of Jesus. One of the things that sets us apart is how we love people. And today, we're going to make sure that we understand how that happens. Not just the call, like I think you should all leave here today and love people that you run into, even people that don't deserve our love because they may do something to you. They may be a very bad driver that you come in contact today and you could show him other things. But you choose to show him love. Or her. There's bad drivers on both genders, okay? So before we get into the word, let's pray. Father, we're all incapable of loving as you describe it, without first knowing that you love us. So this morning, as we look at the reality of what Advent means, that you brought love in demonstration by coming to our world and entering into it and willingly and willfully going to the cross to pay the penalty for us. Lord, let us see how much you love us and out of that be willing to love others. Thank you for your word today. We love you. In Jesus' name. Biblical love doesn't declare truth with words. I mean, it does. It says it. And the truth is that a lot of us use the word "I love you" a lot with words. And if you've been married long enough, you understand that those words have no meaning unless actions follow them, unless the activity of love, what that means, follows it. So you can say, "Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you," but if your actions don't communicate that you love someone, they're just words. And the Bible has lots of words that talk about love, but it didn't just declare it, it showed us. One of the most quoted Bible verses, John 16, says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." Love is an action. It wasn't just a declaration. It was him showing us his love for us. "That whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Advent does not begin with what we did for God. It isn't us celebrating us that we became good people because we experienced a good God and now we're amazing. It's that God came to rescue us. It begins with what God did for us. Before there was obedience and repentance or worship, there was love. There wouldn't be any of those things unless it was rooted and grounded in a God that loved us. John 3:16 tells us why Jesus came, that he came that whoever believes would not perish and have eternal life. And 17 tells us how he came. He came not with condemnation, but with salvation. Christmas is not God showing up angry. Christmas is God showing up loving. And if we want to understand love, we don't start with our definition. We start with God's demonstration. In the same one that we read out of John 3:16, the same author wrote another book in 1 John. And there's a section in here that we're going to go through a few verses. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Let's start. Verse 7. "As beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God." Wasn't our idea, our culture, and our people. We've stolen love, and we've capitalized on it, and we've made a holiday, guys, that you got to buy flowers and find a really thoughtful card, and if you're really smart, also get something that has sugar in it. And do you think our world's like, we just need more love, and so we're going to create this so we can have love? No, some card company, some flower company, some chocolate company was like, what can we do to get you to spend money on it? And sometimes it can even lead us to this place that's like, that is the one time of year that we buy flowers. Let me tell you, you know how you can get away with not buying flowers on Valentine's Day, fellas? Is buy them on the regular. Instead of thinking, oh, here's my one day a year to shine. Let me just tell you, if that's your one day a year to shine, you're failing in the love department. Let me read this again. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. And whoever loves is born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. John calls them beloved before he calls them to love. And that's the kind of before and after. I think sometimes you'll hear us say, and we want you to love people. Christians should be some of the most loving people that you ever meet with. And let me just make sure that we understand that that does not mean approving every single activity that goes on in our world. It means that we see that people have an opportunity to experience God, and we should treat them like they are a creation of Him, that they were created in His image. Identity always comes before instruction. A lot of times we get that backwards, and we give you instructions. We give you things that you should do without you understanding who you are, because if it doesn't flow out of that place, then we will love begrudgingly. We'll love because we have to. We'll love because pastor may see me and think, I'm not being nice today. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later, how we have this game face that we walk around with, and we have to make sure that we have to smile. So love doesn't originate with human effort. It flows from divine nature. Where it says, anyone who does not love God does not know God, that's a strong statement, but it's intentional. Because if we know God and if we're known by God, then that leads us to love. And here's kind of the danger, is that we can be tricked by what we know. So we can know Scripture, we can know theology, and we can know church culture and miss God altogether. That's kind of people that you run into. Because God is love, not as the world defines it, but love that moves towards unworthy, staying faithful and paying the cost. Christmas didn't happen because humanity finally got it right. Christmas happened. What we're celebrating this Advent season happened because God is love. God knew from the beginning that we are a flawed and broken people that cannot fix our issue. We serve a holy and pure God that cannot tolerate sin at all. And let me just tell you, if you're unaware of what sinners are, just look in the mirror. The same mirror works for me too. I'm not saying you guys look in the mirror, you're all sinners. We're all in desperate need of knowing God's love for us. Verse 9. In this, the love of God was manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this, the love of God was manifest among us. Love didn't remain abstract. It wasn't just declared for hundreds of years before Jesus showed up. It was declared there will be this Savior, the Christ that will come, where He's going to come to. And all of these things were brought into the flesh when Jesus entered in and He took on flesh. That God sent His only Son into the world. The world didn't climb up to God. God stepped down into the world. The manger tells us that love is not distant, it's personal. So that we might live through Him, not survive, not improve, not get better, but to live. And for those that are familiar with the vine and the branch parable that Jesus said, He said, that there is no life outside of that. And if we think about it through the lens of we're all branches that need life. We need to connect to the source. A branch doesn't think about where the life has come from as long as it's connected to that source. Life is just flowing through it. And for those that want a little deep dive into what I think is a really cool word in the New Testament is this word through. And it's talked about a lot because sometimes we think that we can have all these things without God, but they're all through. Kind of like that branch, it's connected to the source. And the branch doesn't produce the fruit, the apple. The branch ain't going like, look what I have done. Because if you cut that branch off early on and you lay it on the ground, there will be no apples that come from it. The branch is just the way that the fruit comes. God gets to use us to show his love for people. The birth of Jesus is proof that love moves towards broken places. Verse 10. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. And we'll talk about that word in just a second. If you see words that you don't understand in the Bible, I encourage you to look for the definition. I don't have a huge vocabulary, but when I read books, sometimes I will try to figure out what that word means by the paragraph, and sometimes that doesn't work, especially when you have people that use words that you don't use a whole lot. And so I encourage you, when you read words and you're like, what is that? Look up the definition. Some great resources to help you understand, because if you don't understand what is going on, you'll miss the bigger picture. Not that we have loved God, but that God loved us. This verse dismantles religion. You're like, what are you talking about? Religion says, love God and maybe he'll love you back. The gospel says God loved you first. Every major religion points out an issue that we have. People. And everyone has a path to get to the end of that issue. And all the other ones is based on your work and your effort, being a good person. And you'll reach this higher place. Christianity is the only one that God himself entered into the mix and doesn't just kind of help you along the way, but he does what you could not do. Before repentance and confession and change, it was his love. This is why during this season we put our attention not just on things that we do at church, but drawing our attention back to the one who demonstrated his love for us by dying and sent his son to be the propitiation for his sin. Love didn't ignore sin. Love deals with it fully. And this word means that there is, it's kind of like an equation. Like there's something that, a debt that has been owed, and this is a payment for that debt. Our sin has to be dealt with if God is going to be just. It has to be fixed. It has to be remedied. And God showed his justice by sending his son to be that payment for us. Just like we talked about a couple weeks ago with the shepherds, where they are out there shepherding these little lambs that are going to be used in the sacrifice. Jesus became that last lamb that would take on the payment. Pay in full what he did for us. Love doesn't ignore that sin. A lot of times we were like, man, if God was good, he would just forgive everyone. He offers forgiveness to everyone, but he cannot just go, okay, I just absolve all these horrible things that you've done. Where does that end? But he remedies the situation by giving us Jesus. The baby in the manger grows up to carry the weight of our guilt. Christmas already has the cross in view. As much as hard, and we talked about this also with Mary. Mary was looking at the promise that she had in this little baby, and it would be years later that same baby would be hanging from a cross. That was the intent. Jesus didn't get tricked into saving us. His whole purpose for coming to our planet and putting on skin was that he would set us free from our sin. Romans 5:8 says that while we were still sinners, he came for us. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. This phrase, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. This is not pressure, it's purpose. We don't love to earn salvation. We love because salvation has taken hold of us. So if we try to love people that don't deserve our love without understanding that we didn't deserve his love, like I wasn't a great candidate for Jesus' salvation. I was a dirty, rotten sinner that struggled with lots of issues in my own life. I wasn't like this shining little toy that, you know, God looked down and go, oh, man, this would be perfect to add to my collection. I was another dirty, rotten sinner that needed Jesus. And I don't mean to shame anyone here of their sin, you know, but if we don't understand our sin, if we don't understand our need for his entry into our world, we won't value other people. We won't look at other people and go, they deserve love. But when we understand that we were far from God, not doing anything that made us clean and pure to him, but he came and offered to us an opportunity to be loved by him thoroughly. No one has ever seen God. So here's a question for you. How does the world see him now? Jesus isn't walking among us. We don't get to have these people following behind this ministry that he's created and see the healings and see his hear his words and his teaching. They see it through us. Our ability for people to know Jesus is primarily going to be out of us. And the beauty of Lenny going to be with the Lord, and one of the, not that I enjoy funerals, but I enjoy funerals for people that have lived well, and not because he was a perfect man. He would tell you, even Tuesday we went and we were talking through his service before he passed away, and he was proclaiming the gospel even there. He had been, while he was in the hospital leading up to this, which he has been sick for a long time, he was sharing the gospel with his nurses and talking about Jesus. And the truth is somewhere along the line, God got a hold of Lenny. I mean, he'll tell you that. And the reason why God got a hold of Lenny is because someone shared their faith with Lenny. And there's lots of Lennies in our world that aren't at that place where they cross from one to the other until they have us. The seriousness of our life being to display the love of Jesus is not just about us, and not that just God gets happy with our behavior and our actions. The way we love people, because the way God sees, or people see God right now is through us, is determined by us, our world, our words, our actions, what we do. And some of us in this season that we're going into are going to get an opportunity to speak love to people that don't deserve it. If we love one another, God's love, or God abides in us, God makes himself visible through his people. So to people, here's my question for you. Will people see Jesus in how you love them? Do people know that you love Jesus by how kind and nice you are? I told first service, I'm kind of a task-oriented person. And when I get, and you'll see this on Sunday, if you're here, if you here for setup and stuff, like we had some technical difficulties today, and sometimes I get my business face on. My business face seems like I'm frustrated and I'm aggravated. It just means that I have a purpose. And I have to tell myself, smile. People will be like, are you okay? I'm like, no, the computer's not working right now. And I'm thinking about all those people that are going to sit in here during worship and go, what are the words? What are the words? Last week we lost our audio all because I thought, man, we're going to get a new computer. There's not going to be any glitches from one to the other. And I can be in just this mode of like going and doing stuff. And I can forget that my whole purpose is not this computer. You can experience Jesus if you don't see any words on that screen. You can experience Jesus if our microphones don't work. You can experience Jesus for all those things. But I get into this mode of I have this thing that I have to do. And that thing drives this moment. Like, okay, I gotta get new candles. I gotta go upstairs. I gotta get this. And I'm just thinking about all these things. I'm thinking about curtains, that rod, and I can forget about people. I'm the same way. I have to think about this. Like, Lowe's is a prime example. Lowe's Hardware. I don't ever go to Lowe's just because I want to walk around and look at stuff. I go to Lowe's because I have something that is broken or some project that I'm working on. And I've already, I don't know about y'all, for those that get lost in Lowe's, get the app, type up, you know, search what you want. It'll tell you what aisle it's on, and you can look. But when I get in there, I'm like all business, and I have to tell myself, smile. I'm sure people have seen me and be like, that pastor is not nice. I'm super nice, but like when I'm on mission, I'm like, I'm going, you know, I have to think. I have to look around because I have to, I'm going to see people. I got to look up and be like, I will tell myself, smile, smile. And we got to make sure that the reason why we're walking around this planet isn't just to accomplish a task like finish the work week, retire, have stuff. Our mission in this world is to have people see Jesus. And if we're only about the task and we're not about the reality that I am known as a disciple of Jesus by how I love other people. And I've got to think to myself before I walk into Lowe's, I may be interrupted. And when I got a project, I don't want to be interrupted. I love experiencing God. For those who haven't taken it yet, I highly encourage it when we offer it again to take it. But one of the things in experiencing God, one of the things that stuck with me, I probably took it 22 years ago, is it says that you have to be willing to be interrupted to see God move. I'm just going to say that most of the miracles that you're probably going to see in your lifetime aren't going to happen here on Sunday morning during this hour and 15 minutes that we have you. They're probably going to happen when you're on task doing a project and there's someone that you just run into in Lowe's and be willing to say, I mean, if your house is on fire, you should have called the whatever. If your house is flooding, you should have turned off the water. My house caught on fire one time, and I called one of my elders, who is a fireman. You know what he said to me? You're an idiot. Call 911. I can't fix your problem. I thought he could. But we have to be willing to say, if God interrupts everything, and I can be like this at home too. Like, I get in a little project. I'm working on something. It could be the dumbest thing in the world, and I will just ignore everyone. Amen. And I have to remember that my life isn't about fixing all the little things that are going to come my way. My life is about the relationships with people that I have. And I want people to see Jesus. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And that doesn't happen unless we have an encounter with God's love. You will not love. If you leave here today going, I need to love better. I need to smile when I'm in Lowe's. And I need to be ready to be interrupted. Those things are great, but if you don't start with the reality that God put on skin and came here to live the life that you couldn't, to die the death that you deserve so that you could have life, and he wants you not to have just a little bit of life, he wants to have you life abundantly. And let me just tell you, Paul has shown us, read Philippians, he's in prison writing this letter, and he talks about joy more than anything else in this letter. And you can have joy in the middle of everything. You can have joy in the middle of the chaos that is your life if you understand that it's more about Jesus, more about his love for me, and more about the eternity that I'm guaranteed because of my relationship with him. And then when you understand that, you can look across the table, you can look across the aisle, you can look across, you know, the shelves at Lowe's and see people. And think, man, even if I disagree with them politically, even if I don't like some of the stuff, like you can speak life into people by telling them that God created them in his image, and he desires to know people. And I'm not trying to put pressure on you, but I am. Actually, I'm not. God is. God wants you to experience life in him so that that life in you can be transitioned to other people. That it can be translated out of you and you can realize, man, these people have an opportunity to see and experience Jesus. So here's a couple of application points for us. One, receive love before you try to reflect it. You cannot give what you don't have. You can fake it for a little bit, but it will not last. Some of us are exhausted because we're trying to produce love instead of living from it. You cannot give what you have not received. You cannot reflect the love that you are still trying to earn. If your activity right now is, I need to be a good boy or a good girl so God will love me, and then out of that love I can, you need to realize that it means I cannot. I cannot fix me, and I need Jesus. Before Advent calls us to love others, it reminds us that we were deeply loved, not after we were cleaned up ourselves, but while we were still sinners. Two, let God's love define how you see people. If God moved towards you when you were broken, undeserving, and distant, then love can't stop, then your love cannot stop at the people that are easy, agreeable, and familiar. Everybody can easily love nice, polite people. Learning to love people that aren't is only going to come through the lens of you understanding how God loved you when you were not. Biblical love moves towards, stays when it's uncomfortable and costs you something. Ask yourself this question, who am I avoiding instead of loving? Who have I written off instead of moving towards? And number three, I'm going to invite our worship team to come back up. So we need to receive love before we can reflect it. We have to let God's love define how we see people. And three, we need to make the invisible God visible this Christmas. No one has ever seen God. People may never read a Bible. They may never attend church. But they will and can experience the love of Christ through you. And I believe that God has put everyone in this room in a specific place, specific house, a specific apartment, a specific place that you live for a divine purpose. God, whether you like it or not, maybe not like your job, but I believe God's placed you in that environment so people can hear and see Jesus. This season, love doesn't need to be loud. It just needs to be real. It needs to be patient. It needs to be generous. It needs to be forgiving. It needs to be present. We're starting a new series in January just to kind of lay some groundwork. Every January, we try to restart our year. Our world does it. We want to do it spiritually. And we're going to call you guys to lay down some things so that you can be present with God. Most of the time, we're missing out on opportunities with God and with others because we're distracted by things that don't really matter, things that just distract us. And so in January, I want to lay the groundwork. I'm going to ask you to turn off some things. I'm going to ask you to lay down some things so that you can make room for God to do something. But if you want to be present this holiday season, put down this little device, turn off the TV, and be there. God makes himself visible through his people. So the question which I asked you a little bit earlier is, will Jesus be seen through you this season? If you'll stand up, I'm going to speak a blessing over you. I'm going to pray for you. And then I want to remind you that every Sunday we have prayer in the back. We have communion in the back. If you're struggling with the reality that you don't feel loved, that you feel like God is distant and angry at you, we would love to have a conversation with you. We'd love for you to see God and how he loves you, how he's working towards you. But that comes from your willingness to see him. So let me bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Father, we want to see your grace and mercy poured out in our city. We want people who were created in your image to know you as Lord and Savior. We understand that that may only happen as we love, share, and live the gospel in front of people. And so, Lord, before we do all that, before we step into your mission, Lord, I pray that you would allow us to experience your love this morning. So as we worship one last song this Sunday, as we get ready to venture back out into this world, Lord, I pray that you would help us linger for just a minute and ask you to show us how much you love us. Lord, remind us that you didn't stay in the abstract, that you came in the flesh. So, Lord, I just ask right now in Jesus' name, as we close out this service today, that you would engage us. You would show us how much you love us. If there's people in this room that feel isolated and separated, maybe have never stepped into any knowledge of knowing your love for them, Lord, I pray that you would lead them to salvation today. Lord, we love you and pray that you would walk out this day with us. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.